In the last few weeks, the Healthcare Association of Hawaii has begun sharing some of its supplies of personal protective gear and sanitizer to smaller care homes across the state, even though they're not officially members. It's to help our most vulnerable population. President and CEO Hilton Raithel spoke with us yesterday afternoon about growing access to healthcare during this time.
A lot of people put off healthcare during the pandemic for a number of reasons, so it's good that the facilities are open and taking all comers again, and so people can get the screening and tests and surgeries that they need to get done or should be getting done.
And these facilities, I'm sure, have put the information out there about what their members can expect when you do go into one of these healthcare facilities.
Yeah, obviously there's a very heightened sense of infection control, and we have standards across the state in terms of what people need to do when they're in a facility. So everyone should be wearing a mask. They are in the waiting rooms, for example, they're practicing social distancing. There are some places where people are asked to wait in their car and then come inside when their time for their appointment is ready. And people are talking about opening up for visitors. Some of their members are talking about opening up for visitors, and there are controls or guidelines about what people need to do when they show up at a facility. Well, we're very fortunate here in Hawaii that we've had the low incidence of COVID-19 that we have. To date, we've had 17 deaths in the entire state, and that's still 17 deaths that we would prefer not to have had. But we've only had a total of 643 infections, and the news just came out that this is the third day in a row that we've had no new infections, which is very good. So we have done an excellent job here in Hawaii of managing the pandemic. So we have the lowest death rate in the nation from COVID-19, and we have the second lowest infection rate in the nation. So Hawaii is certainly in a very, very good position. We have a very, very low incidence of disease in the community. There's lots of testing being done, but as I just said, we have had 3 days now. We've had no new cases. Most of the cases who have ended up, who have had to be hospitalized, have been discharged. So we are in a pretty good place right now.
And as far as testing, you know, we have seen the introduction of the antibody test here, and I believe it's Hawaii Pacific Health that has tested a number of its employees, and the positive rate is still rather low. So we have a long way to go still for herd immunity.
Well, that's one of the challenges, actually, of being so good about controlling the disease, is that so few people in the state have been exposed to the disease. Now, we're still learning a lot about antibody testing and what it tells us and what it doesn't tell us. But as you just mentioned, Hawaii Pacific Health made a decision on their own to test or to offer testing for all of their employees. Now, they have approximately 7,000 employees, and approximately 4,500 of those employees volunteered to be tested. And the latest results I've seen, that they have gotten results back from over 3,000 of their employees, and their infection rate, or the antibody positive test rate, was about 0.5%. So they only had 18 employees of over 3,000 who were tested who showed any immunity or showed the antibodies for COVID-19. Now, that's really interesting, because this is not the general public. These are people who work for a healthcare organization. Hawaii Pacific Health has 4 hospitals, and many of the people who were tested for antibodies actually work in hospitals. And so to have an infection rate of 0.5% for healthcare workers is actually very, very low and shows extremely low exposure in the community. Now, again, we're still learning what the antibody tests tell us, and whether we don't know for sure that everyone who's been exposed will show positive antibodies. But the tests that have been run only showed that 18 of over 3,000 actually had exhibited any signs of exposure to COVID-19.
When we last talked, you raised the concern early on, I think, about the testing and the reliability of testing, and to make sure that whatever we were using, you could count on those results.
Well, the tests that we have are reliable. The PCR test, that is the nasal swab, that is done. Now, one of the challenges, though, with a nasal swab is you have to administer the test correctly to actually get a specimen. And so that creates a challenge. If you don't have people who know exactly how to do the test and are trained well in terms of doing it, that means the test itself will show inaccurate results. So just because someone is given a test doesn't mean that they will get reliable results. Now, if the test is done properly, the PCR test is highly reliable, and we have a number of labs in the state who are certified to do the testing. So there is the PCR test, which is a test that is being used now for a few months. There's the antibody test, which we just talked about, that Hawaii Pacific Health is using. And then there's another type of a test, an antigen test. But again, Catherine, this disease has only been around, again, for a few months. And that is a very, very short period of time for us to really understand how the disease works and how it goes through a population, what these antibody tests tell us, what these antigen tests tell us. We do know the PCR test, for example, is highly reliable in telling us if someone actually has the disease at that point in time. But the other tests, the antigen test and the antibody test, we have so much to learn yet, and it will take many months, if not years, for us to fully understand what these tests really are telling us. So there's a lot of companies working very, very hard to get their tests approved. The FDA has only approved a very small number of tests that are out there. And part of the challenges, again, is you really, in order to be able to use these tests reliably and for us to understand what the results tell us, you have to actually go through a period of testing of the tests themselves, and you have to run the tests in different populations and find out what it's actually telling us. And that's part of the challenge. Again, this is all, it seems in some ways like we've been dealing with this for many, many months, but it really has only been about 3 months. We're in the fourth month now of dealing with COVID. And from a epidemiological perspective and from a biological perspective, that is a very, very short time period.
You know, and that said, I know there's lots of emphasis on providing more funding for testing. The AARP asked the state for some guidance and some help with personal protective gear, and I think may have put through an ask through you folks as well. And I know your members are different from the mom-and-pop care homes, but there's still a concern, I think, about the elderly.
Well, there is a real concern because we do know that people who are older, 70 and plus, and then 80 and older, those individuals, in general, many of them have some sort of a chronic disease or illness, and they are just, you know, as we all get older, and especially when you're talking about 70 and 80-year-olds, many of them, their bodies don't have the same immune defense that younger people will have. And so it is a real challenge, and we're very, very concerned about the elderly folks in our population, in our nursing homes. And so we do want to ensure that they are well protected. Now, we're very, very fortunate again in Hawaii that we've not had a single outbreak in any of our nursing homes. We've only had one positive case that we've identified in a nursing home, and we believe that that was a transfer from an acute care facility. Now, in our care homes, the mum and pops that you're talking about, they are not HAH members. They do have their own association that they work with. And so I'm less familiar with what's happening in those homes. But that's because they are smaller homes and you have people coming in and out, you have family members coming in and out, they may not have the same controls and same restrictions that our nursing homes have. For example, our nursing homes still have a no-visitor policy unless it's really the end-of-life situation and someone is in the process of dying, and then they will let family members come in on a very limited basis to say their farewells. But in general, Our nursing homes have been very restrictive and still are looking at being very restrictive. Now, our assisted living facilities, they are talking about now working on protocols for opening up to visitors, but just having maybe one or two visitors at a time. And the visitors can only be in certain locations, so you can't just wander around the facility. There's only certain locations within the buildings that they will let visitors come and talk to residents. So we are working still very, very hard to protect our elderly in our care homes, our assisted living facilities, and other settings.
That was Hilton Rathel with the Healthcare Association of Hawaii talking about efforts to begin welcoming back patients for elective surgeries and annual checkups.